There are so many mysterious things going on our planet and beyond. And we turned her loose, Linda Moulton Howe, as she has covered some incredible stories for you tonight. I want you to sit back and listen to them. And then in our final hour, we'll have conversations with Linda, your questions, your comments. And also, of course, that's when she asks for any tips on future stories. And you're more than welcome to join us for that, too. All of that next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe. Of course, you know her. She has been an Emmy Award-winning writer, television producer, investigative reporter, heads up the Earth Files, earthfiles.com. You can always email her as well with stories and tips at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. I just saw Linda for a brief bit at the Conscious Life Expo, and she's all over the place these days. Hi, Linda. Welcome back.
Hi, George. I'm telling you, this February is turning out to be a shaking, booming, strange month.
Lots of weird things going. I have a feeling, Linda, this year is going to be that way all the way through.
Boy, I'm totally with you on that. And just since February 11th up to now, the earth in Kentucky, South Carolina, and Oklahoma was shaking and falling more than usual, along with lots of loud booms and strange sounds reported by residents. On Friday, February 14th, north of Oklahoma City in Logan County, and another extraordinary report from February 19th in Tulsa that I will share with you at the end of this report. But first, on Tuesday morning, February 11th, a 40-foot wide by nearly 30 feet deep sinkhole opened up inside the National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky, swallowing eight Corvettes, and it's been all over TV news. According to motion detectors in the museum's alarm system, the ground mysteriously shifted at 5:44 a.m. local time. Nobody knows why, but the locals say there is a cave beneath that museum. Then three nights later, on Friday, February 14th, the U.S. Geological Survey reported a 4.1 magnitude earthquake centered 7 miles northwest of Edgefield, South Carolina. That quake could be felt throughout South Carolina and Georgia, according to Facebook and Twitter users. USGS says that this is the second strongest earthquake in South Carolina since 1950. 2 days after that, on Sunday, February 16th, a 3.2 magnitude earthquake was also felt in Edgefield, and USGS called that an aftershock. Now, at the same time the quakes were shaking up Edgefield, South Carolina, 740 miles west, on February 14th, the Oklahoma Geological Survey began receiving reports from local residents in Logan County, which is on the northern edge of Oklahoma City and south of Guthrie. These reports included lots of loud booms. The Oklahoma Geological Survey was just by chance that Friday installing a seismic station in Logan County, as the number of earthquakes began to increase, with one reaching a magnitude of 3.8, again near Guthrie. The quakes have continued through February. There's now far more than 400 recorded. And before this earthquake swarm, the most recent larger Oklahoma earthquake was a 5.6 magnitude that occurred on November 5th, 2011 at 10:53 p.m., that quake's epicenter was approximately 44 miles northeast of Oklahoma City, which is about where all this is happening now. And that quake was felt in Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. It was that big. Well, I contacted Austin Holland, a seismologist with the Oklahoma Geological Survey in Norman, and asked him if what's been happening recently in February 2014 might be similar to what happened before that last big earthquake in 2011. Here now from Norman, Oklahoma, is seismologist Austin Holland.
No, it's quite a bit different. This swarm is very robust, and there's a lot of earthquakes. In 2011, we saw a foreshock, a bunch of earthquakes, a large main shock, and then it settled down over a couple days. And so while certainly there's the possibility that we could be looking at something similar to the 2011 sequence, it is different in the numbers of earthquakes we're seeing, but it certainly is possible that we could see a larger earthquake in this sequence. We continue to see activity in Logan County area.
Is Oklahoma tied in any way to the New Madrid Fault?
The New Madrid Fault is significantly east of us. We have a lot of large faults in our own right. The Mears Fault in southwestern Oklahoma has had large earthquakes on it in the past. The largest earthquake we know of to have occurred in Oklahoma was about 1,300 years ago on the Mears Fault, and it was roughly a magnitude 7 earthquake. So we do have the potential for these large earthquakes.
Well, could all the earthquakes between, say, February 14th and ongoing through February be because something is leading up to a large magnitude quake that might affect the whole state?
It's possible. We don't have any way to predict earthquakes to know when and where and how big these earthquakes will be in the future. So we have no way to know whether these are going to lead into a larger earthquake or not.
Well, one of the things that really caught my attention about these series of quakes were so many citizens calling 911 and saying that they were hearing very loud booms. And the loud boom phenomena has been reported since 2011 all over the United States, Canada, and many parts of the world. USGS has over and over reported there were the booms, but no seismic events. This time in Oklahoma, with all of these loud booms, you've got seismic recordings. What do you think is the link between all the boom reports in Oklahoma now and the seismic activity?
Well, here in Oklahoma, people say that the booms are sort of just there or below them. At least that's with the local residents I've spoken to. And so the sound earthquakes generate primarily when you're talking these small earthquakes and close to the local residents, they generate two types of waves, P and S waves. P waves travel with a very similar motion to sound and air. Actually, it's identical. And so they can often create these popping booms when that hits the surface, or they can interact with structures and that sort of thing to make noise. And then people will feel sometimes the S wave as it comes up because it travels a little bit slower.
Well, there was a resident in Logan County, Oklahoma, named Nancy York, who told KOCO-TV, quote, "It felt like bombs going off. It's just a huge, loud noise. And then it's like a reverb from that boom that just shakes the entire house. If I'm experiencing 8 of these in one day, then when does it erupt and become absolutely horrible that takes my house down?" Close quote. What would you say to Nancy York?
Well, I don't know what to say to Nancy York. I'm planning on trying to arrange a town hall meeting. We often do that in areas where we see earthquake activity and residents unsettled. And I can't really say anything to them that calms their fears. I can share with them what we know and what we don't know. And that's, you know, all that I can do as a scientist.
And what would you say to calm her?
I'm not sure I can. You know, I feel for them and the feel for the local residents, but you know, there's probably nothing I can say to calm some of these people. All I can do is do my best to understand the earthquakes and understand what we don't know about these earthquakes.
Will the boom phenomena, would it relate to some seismic activity going on in the earth that is not being reported?
Well, some of it may relate to seismic activity, and then there may be bizarre explanations for others. It's I can't speak to anything but the recent experiences here in Oklahoma.
If there was something bizarre geophysically happening in the planet, what might that be?
There's all sorts of bizarre things that happen geophysically in the planet Earth. The North Pole switches to the South Pole at repeated intervals through the geologic past. I mean, there's all sorts of interesting phenomenon that occur, and And we've only been recording these things as scientists for a short time period. So I'm sure that there are plenty of surprises left in store for us.
Well, have you talked with anybody in Homeland Security or any federal agency about increase in seismic activity in Oklahoma and the possibility that it might be tying into something like a gigantic event such as the New Madrid quake?
Well, you know, certainly we inform different state and federal agencies on what we're observing and talk regularly with officials throughout the country and scientists around the country, trying to understand what all the implications for the increased seismic activity in Oklahoma are. And we just continue to move forward with the science.
But what did they say to you that they're worried about?
Mostly they're worried about the changes in seismic hazard and addressing how to properly handle those changes as we move forward. I don't think what we're seeing is cause for alarm at this point. It's certainly scientifically interesting, but we don't have enough data to somehow sound any type of alarm.
When does it move to an alarm level when you feel like something's imminent and you need to tell the public?
Well, we'd have to have some ability to tell something's imminent. And I don't think we have that with our science yet.
That you don't know whether it's building up to a large quake or not?
That's correct.
Why is that?
We can't predict earthquakes. We don't understand the physical processes within the earth well enough to predict earthquakes yet. The Tohoku earthquake was a surprise. I mean, all the great earthquakes of the recent past have all been surprises to seismologists. I mean, we knew earthquakes were likely there, and big earthquakes, we just had no idea of when or how big they'd be.
Well, what would give you some kind of an indication that it's going to be serious?
We don't have any early indicators for earthquakes at this point that are reliable. We just don't have that ability to make those assessments ahead of time.
Do you have any understanding of whether there are cave systems, mine, fracking, or anything underground in Logan County?
I know that some rocks contain caves deep within the subsurface. Where those caves are, we don't know. I haven't had a chance to speak with my counterparts at the Corporation Commission to address some other factors such as hydraulic fracturing.
Well, you know, there was the Bowling Green sudden sinkhole right inside of that Corvette Museum recently. And lots of people are saying, is there some link between the sinkhole activity, the seismic activity, the boom activity, the scraping metal sounds? Is there a common cause to all of these things in this Midwestern area of the U.S.?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Well, could it be related to something happening in the earth? Oklahoma isn't that far from Kentucky.
You know, it certainly is possible. The natural world never ceases to amaze us as scientists, but I don't see an established link.
Well, how are you go forward from today with the monitoring seismometers that you have now?
There's roughly 30 monitoring instruments throughout the state of Oklahoma, and we're going to add to those numbers over the next year. What we intend to do is to accurately characterize the earthquakes that occur and share that information with the public and other researchers around the country.
Are you personally worried about a New Madrid earthquake happening in the Midwest now with all this population that we have in the U.S.?
Certainly, it would have greater consequences than it did in the early 1800s. We are concerned about these larger earthquakes, and that's why we try and understand where they have the potential to occur and really address those hazards and design safer buildings.
And yet the irony is you don't know when it can go from a swarm to a 7 or above magnitude.
That's correct.
George, I received on February 21st from a resident in Guthrie in Logan County, Oklahoma, an email in which she said, quote, "I want you to understand that we hear and feel these quakes almost every day now, a lot more than the local news reports. We hear booms all the time, and the 4.4 or 4.1 magnitude in the Guthrie-Langston area on February 8, 2014, caused flickered the lights, sounded like a big explosion on our roof and knocked clocks and other items off the wall and the windowsills. Now, since then, just a couple of days ago, Peter Davenport at the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, he sent me a February 19th dated, unfortunately completely anonymous. If this person is listening to what I'm going to share, I would really love it if you could email me at earthfiles@earthfiles.com, because I'd sure like to follow up with you. But here is this fascinating report from February 19th in the middle of all of this activity that is going on in Oklahoma. Tulsa is 106 miles northeast of Oklahoma City. Quote, I live in a suburb on the outskirts of Tulsa, Oklahoma. This last Wednesday, February 19th, at about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, we started hearing the strangest noise we have ever heard over our home. We ran outside, as did many others, when it did not stop like a normal aircraft passing would. The cloud cover was immense, but we could tell something was overhead, not just loud, but you could feel the pressure change. I've heard this before from people. My dogs did not bark like they normally would. They went and hid. Cars were stopping, and everyone was trying to see what the sound was. The only thing that I saw was, after this noise had passed from overhead, I saw two fighter jets fly by at a very low altitude right over my house through a small cloud break. The noise kept going and going. Even stranger, after the news here reported at least 12 power transformers spontaneously erupted in fire, causing over 1,000 people in Tulsa to lose power. Nothing was mentioned anywhere about the air event, meaning the sound and the pressure, except on Facebook conversations. My sister-in-law heard it at her house about 12 miles south, and this was right over my house going in a northeast direction, so this was extremely loud. I just wanted to report this somewhere. Even if it was military maneuvers, this is worth reporting. Obviously, the military was involved somehow, as the two jets that were following this sound could be seen. I think this is an extremely important report from this person in Tulsa. If there are others in Tulsa who heard this strange sound, felt the air pressure change, heard or were near 12 power transformers spontaneously erupting with fire, I would love to hear from more people in Tulsa. And this this whole idea of the sound having this air pressure followed by jets. Remember, it was last year when I was doing reports, when there was another kind of center of a lot of this was in Louisville, Kentucky, in Fort Knox.
That's a lot, Linda. We're going to come back, wrap this up, and then we'll move on to the trumpet sounds. Hey, we're going to have Linda Moulton Howe on our Future Beyond Belief television program. We'll be talking about cattle mutilations and crop formations and all that good stuff she covers. If you want to sign up for Beyond Belief, you can simply watch it first for 10 days free. I want you to do that. Simply go to the website, beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Linda, I'll do a real quick wrap-up on the earthquake story, and then we'll go into this incredible story of these sounds.
Yeah, they're tied together. And I was only finishing up that Louisville and Knoxville a year ago is where there were jets that were flying, where people had heard booms and all kinds of things. And then adding another layer are these strange trumpet-like and scraping metal sounds. And it was a month ago when I did the January 30th Earth Files and Coast to Coast AM broadcast about strange horn-like trumpet and metallic scraping sounds. And I received two emails after that January 30th report from viewer listeners that for the first time in my research link black triangular craft in the sky with similar bizarre sounds. Now, one man in San Diego, California, years ago, says that he clearly heard the sound of a trumpet coming from a black triangle right outside his bedroom window. Another man in Kamiai, Idaho, also saw a black triangle above him that emitted a harsh metallic scraping sound. The California encounter was in August 1998. That witness, Mark, is now 52 and has worked in engineering and as a remote viewing instructor. The Kamiai witness, Wayne, is 65 years old and has worked as a guitar technology technician his whole career. His encounter with a black triangle was in August 2009, 11 years after Mark's experience. I asked Mark and Wayne if I could record phone interviews with them, and they agreed as long as I did not use their real whole names and current locations. Here they are now, beginning with Wayne's August 2009 experience in Kamiai, Idaho.
I was facing east between 10 and 11 p.m. at night, kind of overlooking a hill, overlooking downtown. Suddenly there was this very strange noise. It sounded like somebody was dragging an extremely large sheet of thick metal from the back of a pickup truck along an asphalt road. It was very, very loud and a very unusual sound, a grating metallic kind of noise. And so I was overlooking the town trying to figure out where is this coming from. And I happened to glance up and there was this very large, dark, triangular craft going overhead with three lights on it. That's where this sound was coming from. And it was very big, dark, and it was moving slowly in a relatively low elevation, making a very odd, loud, outrageously metallic scraping noise.
Were you seeing black against black, or was this triangle blocking out stars, and that's how you could see the shape?
You could kind of see it. You know, it was sort of a grayish black. It wasn't just blocking out stars. And you could see that there were three lights on each corner. It didn't seem to be a flashing light, as I recall, and kind of a muted color, maybe reddish orange. I was kind of shocked that some sort of craft would be generating this kind of sound. It was just such a surprising experience to be looking for something on the ground because it sounded that way and then realizing it really was coming from the sky. You had the feeling that you were observing something that was a machine. When I was reading articles from your site, was when somebody was mentioning the sound of a road grader with the blade down on an asphalt or metal. And I can't explain it any more accurately than that is a, you know, that triggered immediately the memory of, oh, I remember this event, because that sound is so distinctive. It really was like somebody was dragging a very large, thick piece of metal on an asphalt road. That's not a sound that you hear commonly. It's very distinctive. It was very grating and it was loud. That was the jaw-dropping part of it. It was like, well, why in the heck is this happening?
Approximately what size was this object?
Boy, I would think it would take a couple hands to cover what it looked like. It really didn't appear to be that high in elevation. My question would be, is this a noise that was being produced by the craft in the course of what it's doing? But you would think that it's some kind of stealthy type of technology. I wouldn't be expecting something to make such an outrageously noisy event. There's only two choices. Either it was not running properly or somebody's producing the sound for a reason.
And did it go through your head, this is an extraterrestrial technology?
Maybe my gut impression tells me that it was something of ours. I don't know why I think that.
Who would be doing these sounds around the world in both hemispheres?
That's a really interesting question. You know, audio connects very directly to flight or fight reaction mechanisms in your brain. So it makes you wonder if some things might be purposely generated for, I don't know, to what purpose.
Did you have any intuitive gut feeling to the metallic scraping sound you were hearing from the large triangle in the sky that put some kind of an image in your mind's eye?
Not a particular image, but it was uncomfortable. It's that kind of noise that just seems to trigger your nervous system. You know, it's like, this is irritating. And so you have to ask myself, why would this be coming from there? It just doesn't make a lot of sense unless somebody's producing that to achieve some sort of effect. Well, I don't know where that rabbit hole goes.
Is it terrestrial, a triangle doing this, or is it extraterrestrial, a triangular craft doing this? And if so, why in either case?
Right, or those could be tied together. You know, could be terrestrial with some technology that came from somewhere else.
11 years before Wayne in Idaho heard the large black triangle emit the loud metallic sounds, an engineer and remote viewing instructor in Southern California was shocked from sleep by a loud trumpet sound, also coming from a large black aerial triangle. Mark, now 52 years old, recently contacted me because of all the mysterious horn and boom phenomena I've reported, and told me he is still haunted by the revelation that secret triangular craft can focus trumpet sounds on human minds.
I was asleep in a house in Southern California. I was with the person I was working with at the time. I was an assistant to her, and she was a remote viewing instructor, and we were asleep. We heard a loud trumpet sound. And I actually played trumpet in high school, so I'm very familiar with how a trumpet sounds. It started off low, but it ramped up quickly in intensity and then got louder and more intense. We both thought something was coming towards the house, felt like something was going to crash into it. Then the sound stopped, and I looked up through a window that was above the headboard of the bed, and I saw the classic black triangle craft. It was floating or drifting very slowly, moving from west to east above the house, probably 60 to 100 feet above the ground. And we both became very frightened and ran downstairs to try to understand what had just happened.
You have run downstairs because you are afraid of this triangle.
We were afraid of everything that had happened, and it was so strange. The sound frightened us. And we're afraid of this triangle in the air.
Did you run outside to see it?
No. We were not willing to do that.
Did you have the intuitive sense that it was somehow aimed at you, that you two in bed were the focus of the triangle?
Yes. During the day, one of our remote viewing students suggested we task a sensitive military base.
Are you talking about remote viewing Area 51 near Las Vegas in Nevada?
Yes, that was the base. The class was excited. They thought this would be really interesting. Prior to this class, we had had threats made on the phone to stop what we were doing. And in an attempt to mitigate anyone's concern, we publicly announced that we were not going to view any kind of military installation.
Did the people who were calling on the phone and making the threats identify themselves in any way?
Nope. The seriousness of the threat overwhelmed any kind of desire to want to learn more. We put something on our website that said, we are only interested in furthering the state of the research. We aren't interested in specific intelligence targets, so we aren't going to look at those. The threat stopped after we made that public posting. That's why when we allowed our students to view this, I realized it was a big mistake, and then that night, when this event happened, we both connected it to some sort of warning.
The triangle outside of your window being only about 100 feet above the ground, close to you, do you put that in the category of technology that is terrestrial that our government would have?
Yes, I did not feel that that was anything other than military.
Could non-humans be involved with the triangles while our government is trying to manufacture something that would look like the extraterrestrial technology. And what occurred in 1998 may truly have been extraterrestrial technology involved with operations at Area 51 in Nevada.
That's a great question. I can say that over the course of my career, remote viewing various objectives, that we have remote viewed craft that we've got a sense of some sort of ET. It's very clear to viewers that it's non-human. So in general, I do believe there are non-human entities piloting these craft, but there's also, in my belief, there's humans piloting craft too. 12 years after this event, I had re-met with a former remote viewer, and he and I were remote viewing after work just for fun. He actually gave me that event of the night of 1998. I described a military man standing in front of maps at a table and somehow remote piloting a craft that flies across the desert to some place that it was sent to. So to me, that reinforces that what happened on the night of 1998 was some sort of military operation.
What do you think is the reason for the triangles to be linked to the trumpet sound?
In my case, I felt that the trumpet sound was some kind of a weapon. It felt like if the intensity increased, we could have been harmed, but somehow it stopped.
The issue of a weapon, what would be the agenda? Why?
I feel that the person I was working with was of high interest to people in power. And I also believe that remote viewing is a threat because of what it's capable of. So I think that the reason why any kind of weapon might have been aimed at us was because we weren't doing as we were threatened to. Stay away from that kind of a objective.
If it is terrestrial American military, what would they be doing using triangles to project trumpet sounds to a variety of populations in which the trumpet sound might potentially be a weapon?
That is such a great question, and I wish I knew, but I don't know why they would be doing this. Other than if the technology existed in 1998, perhaps they're testing it on a larger range and higher scale. That's why when I wrote to you my email also, it was so loud that we were sure someone had to hear it, but then as we talked between each other, we realized that we thought we were hearing it all inside of our mind because we lived on a cul-de-sac, and believe me, our nearest neighbor was 15 feet away. Lights would have come on. People would have been standing in yards. It was very loud and intense, but we realized that it must have been in our heads that we were hearing this. So does that indicate that the weapon that was trained on us, which I believe something was trained on us, acted in a way that we could only hear it inside our minds? I don't know.
And I am now, what I have in front of me is something I've talked about on Coast before, and I've written about it, Earth Files, and it was called the 1954 War Department Psalm 101 document, Extraterrestrial Entities and Technology Recovery and Disposal. This is a manual that surfaced a long time ago, and Stanton Friedman and I and others, Bob Wood especially, has investigated this and feels this is really a legitimate leak. And why I bring this up, it goes into sections about our government's retrieving technology and bodies over the last 50, 60 years. And it has one description where it has drawings of various craft of different types of extraterrestrial technology, and one of them is a triangle. Uh-huh. And the triangle is identified on the page as having been something that is extraterrestrial, but is a newer, more advanced craft. This is a 1954 book, which means it's writing about material that is known from World War II on. So I bring this up because I think that the Psalm 101 is a very important piece of information about what this government and the UK government has known since World War II about extraterrestrial biological entities and technology, of which one was a triangle identified as being extremely advanced in a 1954 war Department manual. Now we're talking about events in 1998, 2009, of some kind of a triangle that is projecting a trumpet sound into the minds of two people in Southern California, a scraping metallic sound not only into the ear witness in Kamai in Idaho, but there have been many people who have been reporting that strange scraping sound now for the last 2 or 3 years. Some of the recordings that have made it onto YouTube going back to 2011 have some of that quality, as well as others that are more trumpet-like. And I can't help but be very interested in this distinction between two people who have been able to see a triangular craft close to them and say that the sound, scraping metal in Idaho, a trumpet in Southern California, were coming from these triangles, and that they had the impression that they were ours. What in the world would the American military, the Department of Defense, the National Security Agency, or any of the agencies, whoever would be behind such a project, why would they be experimenting with some sort of a strange triangular craft that could project sounds such as trumpets and scraping metal into the minds of humans if that's what is occurring? And then, if in fact this phenomena is related to the, we'll call it the triangular craft described in the 1954 war manual, and that's defined as being extraterrestrial biological entity technology, what in the world would be happening in 2011, 12, 13, 14 related to strange sounds around the world? This is not confined to the United States. The people are reporting, in some cases recording, but here are two people who have seen two triangles that look quite similar in their sketches that I have at earthfiles.com. I would urge listeners to go to earthfiles.com and click on this report and look at their emails and at their sketches and think about this question. If there's anybody listening who has any insights into what I'm raising, these questions about terrestrial military versus extraterrestrial, I sure would like to hear from you at earthfiles@earthfiles.com.
More to come with Linda Moulton Howe as we talk about a large number of stranded dolphins, dead or seriously diseased.